गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवेनामुपमश्रवस्तमोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Even though people want freedom, not simply people want, people are desperate. People do seek freedom. Freedom from limitations. Freedom from limitations imply freedom from undesirable, unwanted, unhappy, unpleasant situations, problems. So it is very clear for us that freedom, otherwise known as moksha or muktihi, is the choiceless end. It's a common human ultimate choiceless end. And it is also clear now, being exposed to Shastra teaching all these years of study, what we need for this moksha is only the knowledge. What we need is total knowledge. What do we mean by total knowledge? What knowledge of what? So when you say total knowledge, will help us resolve the cause for this problem. Now, there is bondage. Being bound means being subject to limitations. Bondage is, being bound is bondage. And being subject to limitations is being bound. And what causes this bondage? If you see, the bondage is not really there. Bondage is as though. Bondage is purely because of the wrong notions. What is the direct cause, immediate cause of the bondage? There's a root cause and the immediate cause. The immediate cause of bondage is the wrong notions we entertain about ourselves and the world also. And this wrong notion, the wrong view we have of the self and the world, especially wrong notion about the self, is erroneous notion, not one notion, a particular given notion. There are many, whatever we think of ourselves is erroneous. This erroneous notion we entertain about ourselves is called ego ahankaraha. So the direct cause of, immediate cause of our bondage, immediate cause for being bound is this wrong notions, wrong notion we entertain about the self. And this wrong notion is due to wrong perception. So erroneous notion is due to erroneous perception. Therefore, erroneous perception of the self and the world is because of the ignorance of the self. For ignorance is the root cause, and the immediate cause is the erroneous notions we entertain about ourselves. So if the immediate cause has to be resolved, the root cause has to be resolved. So in this, therefore, is the knowledge of the self we have already half knowledge. If we can convert this half knowledge into total knowledge, ardha jnanam, if it can be made purnam jnanam, ardha vidya can be made into purna vidya, purnam jnanam, complete knowledge. Then there will be this error in knowledge. Ignorance is not resolved, ignorance is not destroyed but ignorance will be resolved. When ignorance is resolved in the wake of the knowledge, when ignorance is resolved, then the error in the perception is corrected. The wrong notions based on the erroneous perception will resolve. Then moksha, which is freedom, which is already there. See, bondage also goes. Okay. Bondage also, the seeming bondage also resolves. When the seeming bondage resolves, what is moksha, which you don't attain. You just take ownership of what is. This is something nice to understand, so we understand this. And when it happens, we call it jivan muktihi. Because while living this life, when you're endowed with this body, mind, sense complex, when you're experiencing this world, when you're living your life as an experience and the enjoyer of the world, when you discover, only then it is this discovery is possible. Only in this life, only when you're alive, discovery is possible, attainment of knowledge is possible, converting the half knowledge into total knowledge is possible. You know you are, you know the world is. I am, the world is the knowledge we naturally have in the waking state. In fact, when we have this knowledge, it is waking state. I am, the world is. If it is there, it is waking state. Whenever this knowledge I am resolves, the knowledge the world is also resolves, then we call it total ignorance. Suppose if I am and I world is, we understand what this knowledge I am obtaining him of a thought, what this knowledge the world is. I am and world is, it's a manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought, which rises, exists and resolves. So what is this I am? What I am? What this knowledge is in terms of I am? What this knowledge the world is? When we understand, then knowledge is complete. And this complete knowledge is actually knowledge of the very truth, the reality of the one in every individual and of the world other than one's own self. It is the knowledge of the only reality of the self and the world, and every being in the world. And this knowledge cannot be improved upon. It's exactly like saying, if you say wave is, and then if you discover wave is water, that's all. It's a complete knowledge about, total knowledge of knowledge. So similarly here also, I am, and I am aham asmi, jagad asti. Aham Brahma Asmi, then you will understand Jagat also Brahma Asti. Therefore, everything is only Brahma. If this vision is clear, it is not anything very big. And it is this knowledge which is said to be absolute knowledge, ultimate knowledge, which is called spiritual wisdom, absolute wisdom. Why? Because it is this only knowledge, it is this only wisdom in which a human misery resolves for good. If this knowledge is attained, your person can live with this clear, doubt-free vision. Then, when a person lives his life being endowed with this vision of all that is, there is only the truth, that I am the truth, the world is the truth, everything is the truth essentially. Even though there is plurality of being selectively, there is plurality, multiplicity, duality, diversity, but absolutely there is one non-dual, secondless reality. And you see, a person who appreciates this plurality, duality, divisions, differences, being not outside of the only secondless, indivisible, non-dual reality. Then we can say, because these divisions and differences are not non-existent totally, but these divisions and differences do not have independent existence outside of the reality. When you see, only then you can appreciate the fact of all these differences being as though mithya. Then the truth within which these differences do exist is one indivisible truth, and which alone is satyam. So you resolve the mithya in satyam, you can just say what is only satyam brahma. You need to see it differently, how even though there's a plurality of waves, all the waves, the difference between waves, the division in terms of waves, do not exist outside of the truth called water. So without denying the divisions and diversity, you can see how they are not outside, diversity is not outside of unity. We see diversity in unity, we see unity in diversity. And this is the vision. And being endowed with this vision, a person's perspective changes. Then, in perspective change, there's a perspective change means the person can be objective towards all the situations. This only way one can be objective. Being objective means one can avoid internalizing. In non-internalizing, one is ever free. In being objective, one is ever free. This is the fact. Whether we like it, we don't like it, this is the fact. And if this objectivity is there, being endowed with this vision, we call it Jivan Muktihi, freedom while living. There is an absolute freedom. And if that person also has to complete his parabdha. Has to means what? It's not, the person doesn't need to make any effort to kill himself. Not necessary. Because enjoying the freedom. While enjoying what is being ordained, relatively, objectively. But when the prarabdha, because all these relative world, relative existence, this empirical, what empirically real, is definitely within the realm of the order. Absolutely within the realm of the order. There's nothing here which is outside of the order. Therefore, the prarabdha karma, karma phalam, as long as prarabdha karma phalam is there, so long with this vision the person continues to be there, enjoying. For him, life becomes celebration. Life becomes beauty. Life becomes joy. So he lives his life. So it's not in what is happening for him, what doesn't happen for him. It is in how he sees everything happens for him. Very important. The joy, the freedom, is all in how he is in situations. Not that the situations do not happen for him. But when the prarabdha gets over, we say that person's antakaranam also lives like anybody else's antakaranam. So life comes to an end, but that antakaranam will resolve for good. The mind will resolve for good. Because already cognitively resolved mind cannot again come back. When it leaves, because the parabdha, it was hanging, it was just sticking in the body. Parabdha comes, it leaves like any other ordinary person's death. His death happens. Jivan Mukta also physical, he has to leave. And that mind doesn't again become manifest. Again, there's no coming back. Which is called Videha Muktihi. But people like this Jivan Mukti, but they don't like Videha Mukti. Some people. There won't be then, it's because lack of understanding. Therefore, what is that we need to understand here? This mind, antahkaranam, is very important, substance, subtlest substance, we need to understand, which, in the presence of which, the body is alive, in absence of which body becomes dead. And this antahkaranam cannot be destroyed at all. By no means. Like how physical body can be deformed, cut and things like that. Antahkaranam cannot be destroyed at all. Antahkaranam itself cannot be destroyed means, what can you talk of the very truth of antahkaranam? In fact, the truth of everything is one and the same. But this antahkaram happens to be the inexplicably subtlest substance matter. Shastram tells this abstract reality is available for recognition only in that antahkaram. Why? Because that is where there is manifestation. This is what I said last class. So reality is always, reality is everywhere. And reality is changeless. So reality doesn't come and go. Reality means, I say, the Atma, Brahma. But when can you recognize it? How can you recognize it? So recognizability of Atma is dependent on its manifestation. The way Atma needs to manifest, there must be manifestation. Only then it is recognizable. If there is no manifestation, Atma is but non-recognizable. If it is non-recognizable, it is as good as non-existent. So where is manifestation? Even though I said last class, there is manifestation everywhere. There are things where there is no manifestation. Atma is, but there is no manifestation. Reality is, there is no manifestation. If it is there without manifestation, we call it pure. Reality is there, purely there. And if there is manifestation, then we call it, that is life. Then there is life. So life, living and non-living. Non-living means reality is as pure reality, non-recognizably. And if this living means the reality is recognizable. How is it recognizable? Existence is recognizable. Existence of reality is recognizable. Reality is not recognizable. Existence of reality is recognizable. In non-living things, reality is, even existence of reality is non-recognizable. But reality is, the existence is recognizable where there is manifestation, where there is life. And I said in last class, in all the living beings, the manifestation of reality is, means we can only understand the reality being manifest in terms of the knowledge backing the order involved in the functions because of which life is possible. In a plant, in a worm, any living creature, in every living organism, we understand the reality, we recognize the reality in the name of the knowledge back in the order. Again, different beings in different functions, in different living organisms, the level of manifestation differs. There's no difference in manifestation, but there's difference in level of manifestation. It is same with even human body. It is this human mind which is the subtlest. Matter where there is manifestation is the highest. This I also had been telling you many times in every class. And it is this highest form of manifestation of knowledge which rises in the form of a thought in terms of I or I am, gives a human being the status of being the doer. Without this manifestation of knowledge of existence of the self in terms of I am, there cannot be something called kartrutvam, the doership. In fact, there cannot be the karta. Kartrutvam, leave it. Karta is not possible. If there is no manifestation of knowledge of the self in terms of I am, there cannot be karta. For somebody to be there as performer, doer, for something to be there having the status of being the doer, there must be this knowledge. Suppose if this knowledge, without this knowledge, there can be doer. Imagine, we'll all be doing things in deep sleep state. There won't be deep sleep state. Somnambulism is a different problem if you walk. When this knowledge is resolved, knowledge obtaining of thought is resolved, when there is no manifestation, then there is no doer. Is there a doer? The body is not active. Sense powers are not functional. Powers of organs of actions are not functional. There is no doer. So for the doer to be there, for the doing to be possible, for the done to be there, if there must be something called the done, if there must be something called doing, if there must be doer, you know, the performer, then there must be what? This knowledge, manifestation of knowledge in terms of I am. But can there be, is this I am, this manifest knowledge obtaining him of the doer? No. I is not the doer. This knowledge which rises in the form of a thought is not the doer. Just the thought. I am is what? Manifestation of knowledge obtaining him of a thought. This is not the doer. But without this I am, there cannot be the doer. I is what? Just is an I. It's not the doer. It is a thought which rises, remains, and dissolves. When it rises, it's waking. It remains, it's waking, it results deep sleep state. So I is not the doer. What does I do? I doesn't do anything. But without this I am, there cannot be doer. Suppose without this I am, there cannot be knower also. Knower in the sense, knower of the world. The world, only when there is the knowledge I am, then the knower is, what I'm saying, knower of the world is not. Without this I am, the doer of actions cannot be. And without the I am, the knower of the world also cannot be. Which means, when this knowledge is not manifest, the sense powers cannot be functional. Mind cannot back up the sense organs. The sense powers cannot be functional, then perception cannot take place. The perception doesn't take place, the world, poor world, even though it is, it completely loses its status of being the known. Whenever the world, in spite of being existent, it loses the status of being the known, the world is as good as non-existent. Is it clear? The world should enjoy the status of being the known. Jnayatvam. Jnayatvam. The world should have jnayatvam. The status of being the known. When can the world enjoy the status of being the known, thereby to have the status of being the existent? Only when there is perception. The perception has to be there, all the sense powers must be functional. For the sense powers to be functional, the mind should back up. For the mind should be functional. For the mind to be functional, to back up, it presupposes there must be manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the self obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am. Similarly, not only the knowledge, even for the physical body to be active, to be involved in activities, for the body to be mobile and active, all the powers of organs of actions must be functional. The karmendriyani can be functional only when the mind backs up the karmendriyani, and for which there must be, mind must be functional, and for the mind to be functional, there must be manifestation of knowledge of the existence of self, obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am. Is it clear? Therefore, this antahkaranam, listen to me carefully, even though I is not the doer, understand, I is not the knower, but there cannot be knowing, there cannot be the knower, there cannot be the knowing, there cannot be the known, there cannot be the doer, there cannot be the doing, there cannot be the done, without this manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, we say the knower is I, the doer is I. okay? I is not the knower, I is not the doer, but the knower is I, the doer is I. Therefore, you can say the knowing is also I, the doing is also I. The known is also I, the done is also I. But I is not anything. And therefore, what does Shastram do? Shastram takes up this one antahkaranam, which has the first and the foremost of the thought in terms of I am. Looks at this antahkaranam. That it functions in two ways. Therefore, two different names are given to this antahkaranam. Because of this knowledge I am, the doership, is possible. The doer is possible. Even the knower is possible. It is called buddhihi, intellect. Karta buddhihi. Jnata buddhihi. And the same antahkaranam, because of which because of this knowledge alone, later, because this knowledge I am, the world is, this knowledge is possible, isn't it? How can there be the knowledge that the world is possible? Because of this knowledge of I am, the mind is functional, it backs up the sense organs become functional, perception takes place, then the world becomes known. Therefore, because of which knowledge is possible. Therefore, is also looked upon as instrument of knowledge. Okay? Instrument of knowledge, and it is two functions. As the knower, a doer is called buddhihi. As in serving as instrument of knowledge, it is called mind. Is clear now? So we don't go and search for which is mind, which is intellect. Given two different functional names. One, antahkarana, is a one internal organ. And as a mind, it is associated with the sense organs. Isn't it? Because and the mind backs up the sense organs, means sense organs are functional, perception takes place, means mind is associated with sense organs. Therefore, we call it what? The sense organs with this mind associated with the sense organs is called Manomaya Kosha. So, intellect also is associated with what? Sense organs. As a knower. Therefore, intellect with sense organs is given the name Vijnanamaya Kosha. It is like you take a lotus bud, you start peeling from outside, one by one petal. It is covering, isn't it? Like we understand here, okay, Vijnanamaya Koshaha and Manomaya Koshaha. Nothing but this is what, these two koshas. Now we understand, what is this Vijnanamaya and Manomaya? Just manifestation of knowledge, obtaining in the form of thought. When it is there, it is waking. It resolves, it is deep sleep state. So these thoughts rising, being, going, being not there is object of knowledge, objectified. Is it clear? And they're all what? It's all matter. It's all subtlest inert matter. Manifestation of knowledge is also what? Matter only. Understand? Because it is known. Is it clear? It is not outside. It comes and goes. It is not there always. Therefore, Vijnanamayaha also is not Atma. It is a Koshaha. Kosha means Anatma. So, Manomayaha is also what? Only Koshaha, Anatma, not Atma. And beyond this, the Shastram wants to talk about the Anandamayaha. What is Anandamaya Koshaha? When there is no manifestation of knowledge at all, even then, there must be vrittis or not. Even then there are much subtler vrittis which have not risen. What is vritti? What is when there is no manifestation of knowledge, what is there? The knowledge I am is not there. The knowledge the world is not there. What is there? You do not know. Isn't it? You are. You do not know the world is. And that is what is what? Ajnanam. Ignorance is there, isn't it? Ignorance is there. Whenever the knowledge is not manifest, there is ignorance. I do not know. I am. I do not know the world is. How do you say that Ajnanam is there? Because Ajnanam you are experiencing. Ajnanam is object of your knowledge. When you experience Ajnanam, it is deep sleep state. When there is experience of Ajnanam, it is a deep sleep state. But when you are experiencing Ajnanam, you are experiencing Ajnanam, not knowing that you are the experiencer. Okay? Not knowing you are, not knowing you are the experiencer, you are experiencing Ajnanam in deep sleep state. Therefore, there is an experience of Ajnanam. The Ajnanam is what? Much subtler vritti. Is it clear now? It's called Sukshma Vrittihi. How can you say what Vritti is? If you understand Ajnanam, that is a Vritti. If you understand this Ajnanam, that itself is what? Something is. The vritti, the very word, I mean that which something is, you can't say it is not there. Because experiencing it. Then, what else is there? What else is experienced? Sukham. Sukham means, what is sukham? What experience in deep sleep state is not result, not the prarabdha palam. You can say a certain way, but still, there is sukham. What is the sukham? What is the difference between the pleasure we experience in the waking state and the sukham we experience in deep sleep state? It's also experiential. Sukham is experiential. It is not swarupa sukham. It is experiential sukham. See, when you experience pleasure in the waking, the thought is associated with some given object. In deep sleep state, when you experience sukham, that just the vritti is there, and that vritti is called sattvika vrittihi. The vritti, when in deep sleep state, when ajnanam is there, the attention is not associated with internally rising emotions. Okay, there's no fear, anxiety, jealousy, or hatred, or anger, or likes or dislikes. Internally experienced emotions are not there. So the thought is not associated with the externally perceived objects. Because only when there is subtle, in subtle form or gross form, attention is associated, mind is associated with the internal subtle forms, subtle phenomena, obtaining the form of thought such as emotions, or the attention is associated with the externally perceived gross objects, then there can be disturbance, there can be reactions, etc. When the thoughts are not as, when the vritti in the mind is not, when there is no association of with any internally obtaining subtle phenomena, obtaining them of thoughts, or when there is no association with externally perceived gross objects, but what is the thought? What is that vritti? Undisturbed vritti, isn't it? Such a vritti is said to be introvert vrittihi. Introverted vrittihi. We can call it the antarmukha vrittihi. We call it antarmukha vrittihi. Why it is said to be antarmukha? Because no object. Internally obtaining subtle thought forms also is not there, which is object. External gross objects also is not there, isn't it? In deep sleep state, does an object other than ignorance exist for you? In deep sleep state, is there anxiety, jealousy, hatred, anger, fear? Nothing. So mind is not associated with any internal thought, subtle phenomena. Then, does the world exist for you? No. Therefore, there is no association with the external gross objects. When no thought the mind is not associated with the internal, external objects. Without object, the thought is. A thought without the object is what? Sattviki vrittihi. Shanta vrittihi. Is it clear now? Sattvika vrittihi, shanta vrittihi, antarmukha vrittihi. And whenever such a vritti is there, sattvika vritti is there, it has that unique capacity. It is capable of manifesting fullness, capable of manifesting happiness. Then, in deep sleep state, you are your self. No pain, no pleasure, no wrong identity, no wrong perception, no wrong notion about the self. You are just yourself. Whenever you are yourself, there must be experience of sukham. Okay? And that sukham is what? The sukham is also vritti. The sukha vritti is called sukha vritti. What is subtlest, what is experienced as object in the subtlest form? Ajnanam and sukham. Is it clear? Very subtle teaching. And this ajnanam and sukham together, these two vrittis together constitute what? Anandamaya koshaha. And you say koshaha, it's anatma. Why do you call it anatma? Because object of experience. Okay. But when can we? There is manifestation of sukham, happiness. Sukham. Only when there is shanta vrittihi, sattviki vrittihi, antarmukha vrittihi, vritti without any associated with any internal external object, then manifestation of ananda is possible. Is it clear? So whenever when what happened then, there is no knower known division in deep sleep state. See, the subject-object divisions all are not there. Is it clear? It is what is beyond even when before the manifestation. First and the foremost of the manifestations, karta, bhakta, then because of which, then karanam is possible. Karta and karanam. There cannot be karta or karanam without the manifestation of knowledge. Karana means instrument. Karta means the operator of the instrument. Is it clear? And even before that manifestation, what is what? Ajnana vrittihi, sukha vrittihi. And the total ignorance is bliss. Understand? And in waking state, when you experience pleasure also, whenever there is experience of pleasure, also the subject-object division dissolves. See, experience of pleasure itself is possible only when subject-object division dissolves. You mean you forget yourself. Whenever attention, I told many times in the class, whenever attention is grabbed by the object you are enjoying, you totally engross in the object, you forget yourself. Then the fundamental problem is resolved temporarily. Then what is this pleasure? Understand? which means so yene sukham experienced in waking or in even dream, sometimes you have dream sukham, or in deep sleeps it also you have experienced sukham. It's only manifestation of fraction of fullness. Fullness doesn't come and go. Fullness is always there. When there's manifestation, briefly, you have little pleasure. Manifestation of fullness, you have sukham. Okay, so manifestation of fraction of fullness is pleasure. And manifestation of totality of fullness is happiness. Is there a difference between pleasure and happiness? Manifestation of fullness, totality of total fullness is happiness. Manifestation of fraction of fullness is pleasure. Any experiential pleasure for that matter. Even experience sukham. But when can we have, I told you already secret, therefore, Atma is distinct from even the Anandamaya Kosha. Understand? Atma is not Anandamaya Kosha also. Is it clear? Which means Atma is pure knowledge, the source of manifestation. So which is the existence, which doesn't depend upon anything else for its existence. And now, what is then happiness? How can I differentiate happiness and bliss? So, total manifestation of fullness is happiness. Manifestation of fraction of fullness is pleasure. Which means, manifestation of ananda, manifestation of happiness is possible only when there is sattvika vrittihi. Antarmukha vrittihi, sattviki vrittihi, shanta vrittihi. What is the shanta vrittihi? I told you a vritti which is not associated with any object. So in deep sleep state, naturally no object is there. Another object, okay? No object is possible. Why? Because no manifestation of knowledge, isn't it? Therefore, naturally, there's no knower, there's no doer. Therefore, there can't be any emotions. Therefore, naturally, you are given rest. But sattvika vritti is possible when the attention is, that is why contemplation is emphasized. In contemplation, constant practice, you withdraw the attention from all the external objects. You withdraw the attention from all the attention, no? Then attention is placed only in analyzing the nature of the reality. Okay, then this contemplation will help you have what? Shanta vritti. Even if the object is there, if attention is not paid, the object will be as good as non-existent. Isn't it? Do you see this fact? I don't need to undo the object. If the object has to be non-existent for me, attention should be taken away from that. Amazing. You can't undo the object. Take the attention away from the object. The object will disappear for you. The attention, Shastram helps us to shift the attention from the object to the subject. And from subject to its Swarupam. Then, this repeated practice will help you have what? Shantavrittihi. And condition, this manifestation of fullness, which is happiness. Which means, do you attain happiness there? No. In jnanam, you know you are. In ajnanam, you are not knowing you are. So in Anandamaya Kosha, when you say, you are, when there is experience of Sukham, you are. Sukham is. But you do not know that you, the Sukham is your Swarupam. In Jnanam, you know you are, and you know the Sukham is your Swarupam. That's the big difference. Got it? What is the proof there is Sukham? When you fall asleep, there is Sukham. There's only bliss. But what happened? Why? Because Sukham is there. Attention is disturbed, isn't it? You are disturbed. It goes. That's why it's fraction. So pleasure also like that. Sukham is always there. Sukham is always fullness. Why do you call it fraction? Because attention is disturbed. Is it clear? I think I made it very clear. Got it? Only difference is, in sleep there is Sukham, but unfortunately you are not knowing you are. Sukham with Ajnanam is there. Then it is experiential Sukham. Sukham with Jnanam is there. Then Sukham is not an object. Sukham is your Swarupam. In Jnanam, Sukham will be your Swarupam. In Ajnanam, Sukham is object. Is it clear? Then do you attain Sukham? No. What do you do to attain Sukham? You don't need to do anything. Okay? It's the Swarupam. This way is something to be discovered.
Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.